It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, and I'm coming to you live at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and I am just now setting up the stream to get us going, so give me a second here, and we will be live. I think we're making it. It says excellent connection. There we are. Oh, perfect. Okay. So if you're new to the show, you can listen to us live at, hi everybody, it's me. I'm seeing that the stream is working. That's great. So I am over at 12radio.com. You can click that. I am not going to be in the Facebook page today. I'm so sorry for that, but I'm not going to do it today. I think we're going to have a smoother transition if I just do the audio and then come over to the chat room at 12radio.com. On YouTube. Now, if you can't find the chat on YouTube, you can look for it by going over to my MH Astrology is the name on YouTube. I sent the link out. It's on Facebook as well, but you can absolutely click live at the top and you should be able to find me. I haven't seen anybody in the room yet. We had to cancel the first stream. It just said it was dead. So we're going to see if this works, but you just come over to YouTube, look for Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Click the live button at the very top, and you should be able to find us. Now, I might be able to show you how to do that. Not that... There, we got people in the house. Quelly made it. Thanks, Quelly. Good to see you. All right, so what I'm going to do, you guys, just to let you know, as we get more comfortable with the stream, as I get more comfortable with the screen, Lynn made it. Thanks, sweetheart. Good to see you guys. I am going to... I'll be checking back in, but I want to, now that I'm getting a little more comfortable with the visual aspect here, I want to be able to have you guys be able to focus more on learning astrology, being a part of astrology. I did get some feedback last week that somebody was really disappointed in the sort of stream of consciousness approach. It's okay. We're going to meet some new people. I told him I got comfortable talking to the same people for 20 years. And so now that we know we're getting new people, there's going to be a new sort of, there's going to be a new way of looking at astrology and what we do, then it's probably time to get some goodness happening with focus. Okay. So as I get more comfortable, I did get notices from you guys. I did send out the correct chart. They said it was going to be updated. It didn't. So I did post it on Facebook. If you didn't get the, and I'm so sorry for that. I don't know what I can do. I called them. I called them first thing this morning. It's not updating. They're like, sorry, but that's what we get. So I don't know. I do have it on. I'll have it on the screen with us here in a minute. I'm going to switch screens so you can see the chart. Hopefully you can see the YouTube video. Peggy Reeser's in the house. Hi, Peggy. Renee's in the house. Peggy's an advisor at 12listen. I always like to shout out to the advisors. She has a show. Thanks, Lynn. You're so special to me. I appreciate you. Peggy has a show on Tuesdays. Now, today's lineup, we're going to have a ton of people. I want to get some of these announcements out of the way. You already know there's an eclipse coming up. I'm going to talk to you about it for sure. There is, after me, Russell and Ombasa are going to do a show today at the end of, they're going to be first a guest on Serena's show today, and then they're going to have their own show afterward. I am so excited about that. They've been with us for a while. Don't get to hear from them live like this, and I'm just excited for the stream. I hope you'll stay with us and join. Soon, everybody's going to be doing this. I don't even know which camera to look at. Everybody's going to be doing this. So we're going to have it be, okay, let me see now. I want to see something real quick. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, good, good, good. Gotcha. All right, so I'm playing with the cameras. I have two of them. I'm not sure which one is set up for me yet. So it's okay. We'll get all this figured out, but I do appreciate all the love and patience. There we go. There's another version of it. That's what I was looking for. Okay, Be sure, here's how it goes. It's me this morning, Erica was just before me. Love Erica. Kat Nicholson, Psychic Kat, is on after me. She's still doing her class, which is just amazing. After her is Lori the Love Sherpa. After her is Serena. And after her is Ambassa and Russell. So just let me get those announcements out of the way. This is 1-2 week. The 12th of every month is a day that 1-2Listen celebrates with random pricing. It's crazy. It's a celebration. Go get a reading. 1-2Listen on the 12th. That's Wednesday. And then there's an eclipse. We'll have the sale there too. So that's all the announcements I'm going to give you right now out of the way. Now I'm going to switch screens over here. If hopefully you found this. Good morning, Denise. Thanks for being here. Okay, now we're going to switch. I'm going to go to make this chart a little bigger and see if I want to talk to you about this eclipse. And I want to talk to you about astrology in general. So you'll be able to freeze the video and take a look at it. But this is a brilliant explanation of how the planets' rulerships were created. Okay, I just want you to take a look. Okay, so this is Aries here, okay? That's the start of the chart. And you have a normal chart, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. You have a wheel with Aries at the 9 o'clock position. And then typical in astrology, then 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, Cancer, then Leo. We come around, you do the whole thing. Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, right? Now get this. Down here, we just drew the sun and moon and then all the planets that we knew of up to Saturn in a horizontal line. Well, we gave the moon Cancer because that's always been the case. Just drew a line right to Cancer. The sun sign down here, we have the sun and moon. We drew to Leo. Just leave those alone. When it came to Mercury, you draw a horizontal line to the left and a horizontal line to the right. The next sign out. So Mercury got Virgo and Gemini. Venus, you drew a horizontal line. Is that right? Yeah, that's to the right. A horizontal line to the next sign on the left. That's Taurus and Libra. Venus rules Taurus and Libra. Okay. Making sure I don't get some video fuzz problem here. Okay, so see, that was Taurus and Libra. So then we have Mars is next. Then you drew a horizontal line to Aries and Scorpio. That was the original ruler of Scorpio was Mars. Until Pluto got discovered. Jupiter was Sag and Pisces. Saturn was Capricorn and Aquarius. Okay, I wanted you to have that because we talk a lot about rulerships in our classes. We talk a lot about you, like if you're a Cancer, you're ruled by the moon. If you're a Pisces, you're ruled by Neptune. See, the outer planets, when they got discovered, this was the early way that the original planets were assigned. But the reason I wanted you to see that is because before the planets were discovered, Saturn was ruled by two signs. Saturn was not only Capricorn. Saturn was not only Capricorn, it was Aquarius. That's crazy. So what we see in Aquarians is a little Saturn. We see a little bit of structure. We see a little bit of fixity. We see a little bit of wanting to build. And so there, it's built into the pie. And I wanted you to have that chart because I wanted that to be something that we think about when we interpret what's up and coming and why planets are doing what they're doing. Now, this is the eclipse chart. I'm flipping it back around. Let me do the, there we go. This is the eclipse chart. And where you see my, I think you can see my mouse. Yeah, there's Saturn. Looks like an H. There's the sun. I don't know. Let me see. Does it? No, when I magnify it to myself, it doesn't change what it looks like on the screen. So there's the sun, there's the North Node, there's Neptune. They're all in Pisces right now. And when the moon is going to be exactly opposite that and next to the node, the South Node, which is in Virgo, the moon is going to be in Virgo. It is going to be the full moon eclipse that you're going to be able to see. It's going to look red, like really early in the morning. It's going to look red. But this, look at what's involved. Saturn is at 22. Okay, Saturn is at 22. The sun is at 23 of Pisces, and the moon is going to be opposite it. That's the visual. So I'm circling it with my mouse if you can see it. Otherwise, we have the moon opposing the sun and Saturn. Neptune's kind of a part of that, really, when you think about it. Neptune's right on the nodes at 29 Pisces. So you're going to have this influence, this Virgo influence with this moon. And to understand it is going to be so important because the moon is next to the south node. The south node in Virgo, I talked a little bit about it last week. But wherever this lands in your chart, and we're going to talk about that too, is going to be a lesson learned that you already know. And this is the interesting thing about Virgo. Virgo attracts what the flaw is in something, right? So Virgo has this thing, like the Virgo is the one who gets the fly in their soup. The one who would be most offended by that gets it because it's Virgo who then sets the pace for like, okay, nobody eat the soup. Okay, fix the soup. Because that's Virgo's thing in life. When weird things, when snafus happen, it's often to the Virgo or somebody with a lot of Virgo or somebody that's next to Mercury. Like Mercurial people tend to attract the weirdest little situations, okay? And a lot of that is in that built-in, I'm going to find the flaw in something energy that Virgo has. And so wherever this eclipse lands for us, we're going to be seeing the what we learn will come from a lot of times from mistakes. A lot of times from not our own, but finding the flaw in something else. And if you've been on this mission lately, if you've been noticing it brewing in you, where you're kind of being critical, now I know it in me because I have Jupiter in Virgo, so that's a given. You're going to see criticism. I have criticism. I see things in a certain way and I critique them. And it's not, I'm not stuck with that, but it is a defining part of my personal astrology, which happens to have a Scorpio rising, just like this chart. So there is an ability to see what's going on and then criticize it. It's not a great trait. But what I'm saying is it seems like a lot of times the criticism comes because if it's going to break, it's going to break on me, right? That's the Virgo part. That's the Jupiter and Virgo part. Well, because this is an eclipse happening for all of us, look for those events just as a metaphor in your life where something is, you're seeing the flaw. And now if everybody's seeing the flaw, you know, what does that mean? It means that the people who are most conscious, people who are aware that that's happening, will tend not to be as complaining and tend to want to fix it. Hey, Arlene, welcome. So I'm going to go over that with each of us in the chart. But what I want you to feel, first of all, is that we're heading toward a full moon. So when we're heading toward a full moon, even though it is an eclipse, we're heading towards some sense, a crescendo of sorts. Now, you know, with the new moon, we're heading for the crescendo that's sort of like the beginning, opening act. And everything feels anew under new moons. I like the new moon because it feels like we've washed away all the issues of the full moon and we're bringing the issues of the new moon to prominence. Okay, we just had the new moon in Pisces. Okay, so now it's in Virgo. Now we're seeing the trees, not just the forest. We're not seeing the big lush forest. We're seeing the individual trees. We're starting to see details. And that is where I want you to start noticing. Have you been noticing? Have you been really particularly critical of yourself lately? Like unusually so? Have you been sort of making personal resolutions that like, oh, I got to stop doing that or whatever? See if you're noticing the kind of drudging up of the individual issue as opposed to the larger issue. I can give you a great example for it here. Doing the live streams, you know, it started, we're doing it under so many retrogrades and you notice that, that didn't stop me. And it wasn't, I don't get to blame the retrograde for things going wrong. That's not the issue. The issue was getting to the point where I could be comfortable and focused, getting to the point where, this thing could be real and have resume itself on a new level, but not lose some of the personal charm and focus that I had when I didn't have to look at things around me and know that I was being looked at. And so it grew, but what happened underneath it was like the first criticism I got, it was like crumbled. you know, and then you realize, oh, that's okay. That's what happens when more and more people come in. When it's not so much of a personal group, it gets a little more open. It starts going viral on the internet. People start looking at it more. You're going to get people who don't like your energy or haven't grown with you, who know who you are or don't like what you have to say. All that's very good. And what's good about it is it's good in that I can learn that opinions don't have to hurt, right? It doesn't have to be something that I dump through every loop to accommodate. And that's a really good stretch for a lot of people. It's a really good stretch for me. But that's an example of jumping through this cycle of a new to full moon energy where it's like, okay, we've been doing it for a while. I'm getting a little more comfortable. I'm starting to understand the nuance. And now I'm ready for the next stage of growth. Well, that's what this Virgo eclipse is bringing. You have to remember Virgo is the loner of the zodiac. It's like a weather forecast. Everybody's going to experience the snow in a particular region or the sunshine or the heat or whatever it is kind of weather you're having, but not everybody's going to deal with it in the same way. Okay, so one example would be some people can't take the heat, so they're going to dread it. Some people are going to love the heat and they're going to shed their clothes and go swimming or plan those things. When the moon is in Virgo, when this full moon comes, some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to experience a sense of like, I can finally get some stuff done. Because what is Virgo? It's Mercury, right? But here's the thing. It's in Mercury and Mercury's in Aries right now. And Mercury is sort of influencing this Virgo a lot. So wherever you have Virgo in your chart, it's being activated in an Aries sort of way. But there's a hitch. Mercury is going to go retrograde Friday. And so it stops moving forward. It's so funny. The eclipse is Thursday. Mercury stops on Friday. And then stops, and then starts slowly going backwards to where it was March 1st. So this is a mental cycle where the mind is probably going to be guiding us a little bit about what we need, whereas the emotional body was guiding us the last couple of weeks. Hurts, pains, people from the past. I've read about a lot of loss. My heart, Jackie Walsh, I can verbally extend sympathy to you and what's going on in your personal life. Other people I know are having things going on. All of that stuff, it was the past couple of weeks when the sun went into Pisces. But we've been dealing with it for way longer than that because Neptune has been in Pisces for longer than that, maybe 14 years. And it's leaving this month, leaving Pisces. And if you haven't put together that we are going to feel that in a particularly very strong way, then I haven't been getting through to you and I'm going to get through to you. The planetary changes, these big Pluto entering Aquarius, Neptune going into Aries, these are big because it gives a new sense of access to the elements of fire and air together in the sky because Neptune and Pluto are going to be trine. Happy birthday too, by the way. And let's see, Terry's in the house, Lapis is in the house, that's Karen, I see you, Karen, thank you. Hi, Becky. I know people don't, I'm getting feedback about the cutting and saying hey to the room. I'll do that periodically, but I will come back really fast. So if I don't get to say hi to you, if I miss you, I so appreciate million times over you being here, and I will get this down so where it's smooth and easy and I'm not so reacting to everything that happens. So let's take a minute. I did open the show with the chart of rulerships. Mercury is the ruler of this Virgo moon, this eclipse happening Thursday, late night. It's kind of really Friday. It's Thursday, 11, almost midnight on Thursday on the Pacific coast. And so that tells you it's going to be like early morning Friday for everybody else. So if you're up, go look up and you can see maybe it's a big red moon. Almost completely invisible, but supposed to be the blood moon. Let's see if it looks red. That would be fun. And sort of take in the energy. Now, the new moon is the last moment of the moon receiving light from the sun. Now notice that the earth is in the middle now, casting a shadow. So we get to see ourselves. You can wave and see your hand raise up on the moon. And it'll be the last moment of the sun, of the moon receiving the sun's light. And from that moment on, it starts releasing. And I want that metaphor to get into your head. It's a release cycle. And for 2 weeks, what are you going to be releasing? Well, I think it's all that Pisces stuff that we accumulated in the new moon. And that means it's people from our past. Pain from the past. You know, it's really important that we understand that when we look at our wounds and we are like, we go specifically to them and people are like, it's fascinating to me that we're still carrying the same. I look at the wounds I carry and I call them wounds. They're mostly, I think they're just now good friends that hang out with me. They go, oh. Like every once in a while I get a twins. Why didn't my dad teach me that? Or, you know, it's sort of like I get a, it never goes away. It's kind of hysterically funny that the issue kind of can still ping you. And it's like, then, well, why isn't it now just a part of me? Why isn't it a part of me that I carry a little bit of, what, like I look for something to blame when something isn't going my way, or when I feel a deficit in myself, or I see a gift in myself. And it's like, why didn't anybody see that? It's kind of cute because when you get to my age, you're kind of like, it never goes away. I mean, if I haven't gotten it now, 69, I'm not going to get it, right? I mean, or I'm missing the point. The point isn't that you get rid of it. The point is that it defines you. Like, so whenever I notice somebody being ignored for a particular gift they have, that wound, quote unquote, that I carry, I get to extend forward. This is the Virgo thing. I want you to really try to get this. Virgo, this is the service of Virgo, which Virgos are way better at it than me. But it's a symbol, it's a metaphor for this, what issues we can go after during this cycle. And one of the issues you can go after during this cycle is stop trying to fix yourself. Maybe we're not broken. Maybe all those little wounds kind of come together to define a certain way of being. Like, it's who I am. That's the goofy guy that's crying at a commercial where it's really sad, a reunion, or when a parent looks at their child lovingly and goes, that is amazing. And then I get that little, damn it. Well, nobody said that to me. It's so cute because in a way you get to go, oh, you know, the other part of my adult mind goes, quit whining. Even to yourself, quit whining. It's a cancer thing, right? We whine. And it's really fun to whine when somebody responds to it. So the part of me that's always responding to it, like you, like I've always responded to myself like, oh, that is sad. That's too bad. Or I hate them for the way, you know, any, whatever reaction is it. Now the reaction is, okay, we hear it. We've heard it for this many years. Could we stop, please? Enough. Yeah, it's definitely in your right. And I hear you, Becky. Thank you. Hi, JK. Thank you. Got to be complex, but I got here this time. Nadine, yes. Thank you. Okay, I'm doing that thing where I'm segueing over just to the chat room really quick. Let me do that real quick, okay? I'll come back to the point, I promise. Hi, Penny. Welcome. Karen's Pluto is at 24. Her sun's at 26 degrees of Virgo in the fourth. So the eclipse is right there. And what that is it's so fun, Karen, because when I have an eclipse or something hit exact, you don't kind of feel it. You don't wake up and go, oh, things are different. But you might look around and realize something you have access to that you didn't before. And it might take a minute to find it or figure it out. But don't kind of look around for it. Just sort of like take it all in. Like this is it's reflecting an incredibly new cycle for you. Okay. It's like the end of the last 2 weeks starting this. Remember, this is the release cycle now. So you get to have the access to the valve that releases. Okay. So all of us have this bit of Virgo in us. Okay. There, you have a house that has Virgo somewhere, even if it's intercepted, somebody has Virgo in their chart And it's in that area where this moon is taking place and where this event is taking place. But it's not just the Virgo event. It's the Saturn, the Sun. See, I'm circling them with my mouse. The Saturn, the Sun, the North Node, the Neptune, those guys are all playing. They represent the wound. They represent the knowledge. They represent the gift of Pisces. But this Virgo is sort of pointing the way out. Like, okay, now let's sort through some of this. We see it's a forest, but now we have to pay attention to some of the details, some of the trees, some of the species. And what I mean by that is what I just said about the example of we have a particular part that we've identified as broken. And it's like, this part is broken. And so, and what do I need to do to fix it? Well, somebody might say, forgive your dad, forgive your mom. All the stuff out here that is so, I am so up to my eyeballs in dealing with that I'm kind of so over it. We don't even have a clue what any of that means. We judge people do it. I watch a lot of younger up and coming voices talking about, you know, you just forgive. And it's sort of like, yeah, that's, those are words. But what forgiveness really can mean is to see that there was no harm ever done. That when you cut yourself, when you're cooking food or, you know, peeling a potato and you scrape yourself, I guess years of being a chef, you will get better at it, right? You'll eventually be very skilled with those things that you're pretty, but you're not very good at right now. Well, I got really good at hearing the criticism. I got really good at blame. What I didn't get really good at was just the acceptance that that's part of the package that makes me me. It's part of the package when I go to the grocery store and I watch the critic, you know, I've talked for years about people opening up the bulk food bins. I'll never buy bulk food because I see people eating out of it. And it'll never stop. But it's kind of cute because if you were with me when we do that, you'd know my nose was going to cringe up. I'm walking out, you know, going around that thing. It becomes a personality thing. And that is what a personality is. It's the sum total of all those little cuts and bruises that we got as we grew. And Pisces is so about the past, even though we have a North Node there, and that's so important. Because what we're using is a way to bring the past in and set it as a, okay, I'm here. I got it. So I have this thing, and I was told not to talk a lot about my gambling because it could be a bad influence for people. But I love slot machines. I do. I do. I don't want you to love them. But here's why I'm telling you that. Because I realized my love of them is also the way I lived my life as a gamble. Like everything was a gamble. There was such, in one level, there's such a profound trust I have in my life that I've had to have that I feel like I developed because of not having anyone to catch me when I jumped, that I started noticing I could jump and I'll probably be okay. A big gift of having a Virgo mom with an Aries moon who didn't want children, clearly, but you know, She was a great mom in so many ways, the Virgo aspect for real. And the Aries aspect too, like the fighter, the coming. Oh, so many things about my mom were great. I know I make fun of her a lot. She had a lot of problems, but so many things about her were great. And one of the things that I think worked really well for me is that she didn't want to be a helicopter mom. We had to figure it out. Like I would come home from school every day alone. We had a key. We knew where the key was and, you know, ate fend for ourselves, a bowl of cereal, whatever. But there was no hovering. And I think in that, I got to take risks. Some of them were horrible risks. But like not cutting a knife, chopping with a knife, eventually you get good at it. I think a part of my nature was a risk. Like, let's do it. And when I got my store and I had to, like, I wanted to move. I had just met John. We wanted to move. We lived in an 800 square foot house, which is a whole nother story. But anyway, I had to do something. I drove around, just drove randomly around Denver because I'm not a friendly person in terms of like, I don't have a lot of friends to call and say, come with me, blah, blah, blah. I just don't do that. And I accidentally come to a place, an accidental driving. This is the God's truth, a beautiful home in a district that was zoned for business. And it was $75,000. So could I sell my house and get it all, make it all work out, blah, 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 blah. It did. It all worked out. And it became the store. Now, I had to quit my state job, which was a guaranteed. It was $40,000 a year. That was like the most money I'd ever made. It was a guarantee, but I had to quit it. I had to quit. And could I? Should I? Gamble, gambler, 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 right? Somewhere in me developed the skill, the thought, the okayness where I could take this risk and it would probably turn out okay. And where I could really quickly assess what's the worst that would happen and kind of put it together. And John has told me a million times since then, because that store was really hard to maintain for 20 years. When you have snowstorms and no one comes in and you got a $4,000 a month mortgage. Yeah, it was $4,000 a month during the housing crisis of 2008. And there's no way I was going to let that house go away. So everything I could take, credit card swapping and, you know, doing balance transfers just to make a mortgage payment, for real. Horrifying. I don't know how many times I looked up a bankruptcy lawyer before something changed, right? And every day, the fear, the high and low, the depression of being an entrepreneur, the depression, the giving my notice on the job. They were so happy to see me leave anyway. I don't know. I was sort of surprised they were so happy to see me leave, but I sort of stretched the envelope a little bit, right? And it worked. It worked in some of the most beautiful ways. Some of the hardest things I ever confronted in life came from that experience. The hardest things I ever confronted in life that I got through to the other side that make it possible for me to be able to talk now about how little fear I have about what could possibly happen. Because I'm so good at assessing how bad it could be and what the consequence could be. But risk-taking, Lord, I think I got that from my mom. I really do. I think I got it from her being, because when I went to one, what was the event? I guess it was my dad's funeral, possibly, where I ran into an aunt who said to me, "What is this astrology thing? Is that from your mom too?" She was so disgusted. They're so disgusted. So many doctors and lawyers and people in the family. And I'm the risk taker. I'm like, okay, let's do astrology. Whatever. The point is, at some point, you develop that skin that allows you to deal with things a little differently. And I think I watch where it came together. And that is the Piscean part of this journey that we're going to be taking with the eclipse. Okay, so let's go day by day. Let's look a little bit through. Now, this is a good segue, a conscious segue into the chat. Let me look at the chat. And those of you that are just learning astrology, this will get clear, and I will continue to bring simple, simple concepts into this so we can start mixing it a little better, and you'll be able to hang on a little tighter to what I'm talking about. So if you're lost, it's okay. Don't worry so much about it, because I will summarize things in a way you can understand them, hopefully. But when I give explanations, I think it's sort of fun to give a foundation to the people who already understand it too. Okay. So let me just give a shout to the room. Esther's in the house. Esther, you made it. That is so great. I'm so glad to see you. Esther has Virgo fifth house, Virgo and Neptune in the fifth. Okay, excellent. See, and that does tell us a lot. Saturn, Virgo. Oh, people with Saturn and Virgo. You know, you Saturn and Virgo people, Saturn in the sky is opposing you right now. This is great because I think it's a big challenge to these are the people that are painfully right. They're right all the time. They're right about everything. And sometimes it's painful for them. Sometimes it's hard for them to step outside. I mean, for them, I think my life would be mortifying the way what I just described would be mortifying. But the Jupiter, the Saturn and Virgo component of being able to cut loose is in there. And also to follow the rules, that's in there too. So Saturn is, whenever you have a Saturn, whatever sign is in Saturn, has two very distinct expressions. A very withheld and controlled one. For example, Saturn and Aries people are sometimes so afraid to take a leap. And on the other hand, you see, what the heck? They just took the strongest, meanest, longest leap you'd ever see. So wherever your Saturn is, it's always warbling back and forth. It's figuring out the balance that it must hold. And so when you have it in Virgo, you're doing that all the time. And this time period for you is Saturn opposing that. If you have Virgo anything, a sun, a moon, this cycle of Pisces has been extraordinary for you in so many ways. And it could look like the world was against you. It could look like you were wrestling others because it's an opposition. It looks like it comes from the outside. But it looks like it could be a coming together, because whenever you have an opposition, you have compatible elements. You have things that are very much, you have water and earth. You can build a fortress with that. You can build anything with that. When you have fire and air, you have fire and air like that. It can electrify the fire. It can warm the air. So there's a lot of good that comes from an opposition. They're very powerful. If you have a square, if you are a Gemini or a Sag right now dealing with all this Pisces, basically you're feeling this sort of like push. For you, it's sort of like, okay, you can put your focus on one thing, but not two things. One thing at a time, even though you're a dualistic sign, you're really good at that. But you have to pick a side for a minute, because that one thing is pushing you to do something. And so squares are not seen as friendly as oppositions, but they are seen as way more productive. Isn't that interesting? Because you get a lot more done under a square. Theoretically, you have to tell me if that works for you. Shelley, I'm glad you found it here. We will figure out the linkage here and how to get it. What happens is I schedule the stream. I go to broadcast the stream, and then it tells me the stream failed. And so I have to restart it. Well, when I restart it, it's no longer in the schedule. And so it's weird. I'll get to the heart of it. I need to practice. I'll practice for sure. Okay. Yeah, I do have, this is another flyer. Let's see which camera this is going to be at. This one, how the planets move. So you can see on this one, let me just see if I can get a, okay, there we go. Let's do this. Hopefully that's going to be clear for you guys. Put my finger there so I can focus on something. So it's kind of the speed at which the planets move, and hopefully that's clear. I'll check and see if it is going to be clear for you. Bring it back a little. Okay, and one thing, yeah, the camera is designed, this camera is, let me just see if it has a, yeah, I'm not going to do it now. Okay, so if you can't see that, I'll look and see and know, and then we'll come up with a better way. So that's how fast they move. And that's why this is so important, that Neptune takes 14 years to go through a sign. Okay, and it's changing after 14 years. It's going into Aries this, I think it's March, like this month. I can look and tell you real quick. It is. March 31st is Neptune will be in Aries. And let me see if it stays in Aries or if it goes. It goes back to Pisces in October for how long? It goes back. No, wait a minute. No, it doesn't. Hold on. Sorry. It goes back, yeah, in October and November. And then in December, it goes forward into January. So in and then in forever in Aries. So it is leaving. We're getting a taste of it. It'll be back in October, but we're getting a taste of what happens when Neptune goes into Aries. I'm going to be talking about that crazy for a crazy long time with you. We'll do it. We'll make sure we get through that. Okay, let's take a look here at the other things that are happening. Mercury is retrograde at 19. So this started, Mercury started in March, at the very first of March. It went to 9 degrees of Aries. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Hold on, you guys. I'm sorry, and I keep hitting the microphone. So starting to move is dangerous. Yeah, Mercury was at 27 Pisces at the 1st of March. Okay, Mercury was at 27 Pisces, right where Neptune is now, right where the around where the moon is going to be full. Mercury was there. That's why this moon is going to be so much about the past. But here's the thing. It goes up to 9 Aries, and then it goes back to that point again. And when does it go to that point again? Well, that point is 27 Pisces. We're going to see it at the very first week in April. So, and then we see it again, let's see, 27 on the around the 10th of April. So here's a visual for us. Let me use my keyboard. So Mercury is here, let's see, here, and it's going forward, this is March 1st, and it's going forward, and it stops here, and then it's going to go back to where it was at March 1st, stop here, come down, and then it's going to go forward again. And when it goes forward again, notice that each one of these, it's hit 3 times that number, in that parallel number. So we see things 3 times in retrogrades usually, sometimes 5, but never with Mercury, always 3. So we're going to be talking about what happened at the very 1st of March for us, and then we're going to see some of the resolution and some of this stuff get louder in the middle, right at the beginning of April, and then we're going to see the conclusion, and we're going to be able to talk about it because this is all that happened here with the live stream for me, so I have this great reference point how things are going to evolve and change. We're hoping to bring a lot of people up. Hi, and no, it's not clear. My 17-inch screen won't take it. This will be a learning experience. Yeah, it will be, Gwen. I'm sorry it's not clear. I wonder if I hold it back here by me, if it's any clearer, because then you can magnify your screen. And so I'll do that too, because then the camera's going to focus on me. And then we'll see if we can get a picture of it. If not, I'll read it to you, whatever I hold up. But thanks for letting me know. I appreciate that. Okay, so let's go back to the chart real quick, and then let's look at this upcoming week and see how you guys are doing, and then I'll answer any questions if we have them, and then we're going to go to let the day move on, really. You know, what's one thing about the stream that's been kind of fun, the streaming, is it doesn't have to be limited to an hour. Like, I don't have to worry about an hour. It's like I can talk, we can make sure all the questions are answered or things are clear about what's up and coming, and I'll get these dates with you down, but I do want you to concentrate on these. And one of the reasons I showed us the rulership chart in the beginning of the show, at the opening of the show, is that Saturn is affecting not just Capricorns, it's affecting Aquarians. And so I want, like, here's the people being affected now: Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, mostly Pisces, because Neptune was always just the ruler of Pisces, Virgos, Geminis, and Sagittarius. So if you are a mutable sign, or wherever you have mutability in your chart, that's wherever you have Sag, wherever you have Gemini, wherever you have Virgo, and wherever you have Pisces, that's this axis that we're really hanging on to, because notice that Jupiter's in Gemini as well. Okay, so what we have is this energy is coming out all the way to Sag, meaning that Sag is the only where there's no planets, the only empty space. And so this tension that gets built among Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces comes out at Sag. So wherever you have Sag, that's where there's going to be energy issues. If it's the first house, it's about your presentation to the world. The second house is money. The third house is where you live, your neighbors, your siblings. Fourth house is your home. Fifth house is creativity. Sixth house is what you do on your rituals, your health, your routines. Your seventh house is relationships and contracts with other people. Eighth house would be intimacy, taxes, money from other people. Ninth house would be travel. So if you have mutable in any of these is what I'm talking about, that's if you have Sag on any of these, that's where the outcome is going to be. Okay, so the outcome of this eclipse, let's say, for example, the outcome, meaning where you're going to find relief, where you're going to find your Sagittarian inspiration. Okay, and in all the houses I just named, the ninth house would be through maybe travel, the 10th house through work, 11th house friends maybe, 12th house through meditation or being alone or isolating yourself. So that's one way to look at this. Like, what's going to be the easiest way? If you're having a really tough time, then what they'll do is go to Sag, where Sag is in your chart, and see if there's an opening for you to feel relief there, spirituality, or introduce a sense of hope. And if you're not having a rough time, if it's just sort of like life as usual, then don't worry about those little details like that. But I would keep an eye, since we're having a Virgo eclipse, on the serious nature of criticism. Self-criticism, defeatism, ambivalence. You know, a Virgo is like, I don't care. I don't care. You hear that a lot from Virgos. So I think the idea here is keeping an eye on letting the criticism be minimized, but letting the gift of Virgo, which is service, be amplified. And what are we serving? Hopefully, we get to see how we're serving ourselves. That's really the bottom line. Okay. My moon is 27 degrees. My Mars is 28 degrees. Sag in the sixth. Yay. Okay. Yeah. So health, routine, ritual, those are going to be things where you bring inspiration to. And that, so find Sag around your chart. It looks like an arrow. If you guys have a chart that you know of, find where Sag is and your outcome, that will help you deal with some of the power of this moon. Now, if you haven't subscribed to the mailing list, that's over at 12house.com. Please do. Also, C.A. Brooks does a write-up for us every week in summarizing where the planets are, what they do, along with Kelly and Mo and Ginger. It's an incredible write-up. It's incredible support. Check that out for more information about the eclipse. And that's over at markhusson.com. This week, the password is retro, all lowercase. But do get on the mailing list. It helps us see who you are, what you're doing. Subscribe, hopefully, to this live stream. And then you'll be notified whenever we do something special. And we're going to be doing something special. We're going to be bringing a lot more hosts to the live streams. We're going to be hopefully getting you comfortable with YouTube and less worried about Facebook. We're kind of migrating. I have to migrate away from Facebook. It's where I'll post some things, but I'm not going to get into the private chat room anymore. I'm just going to try to keep it all here. I have Mars in Pisces. Speaking of Mars, you guys, I want to mention this real quick. Mars is now direct in Cancer. It's going to go into Leo, and that is going to be, I should tell you when, but I don't think it'll be here until week after next, but let me just make sure. Because I think this is important to touch on the effects of Mars and what it does. So it's been retrograde. We're going through, it is. It's coming in April 18th. It'll leave Cancer April 18th. So if you are a Capricorn, if you're a Cancer, if you're a Libra or an Aries, that Mars is, if you have any planets there, that Mars could be irritating those and sort of asking you, what is it that you're stepping up to? What is the fight about? What are you doing? Where's the irritation coming from? Because Mars is like a rash. It can be irritation. It can also be how you take action. And Mars in Cancer is often to defend the underdog for all of us, wherever that takes place for you. So all I want you to do is be aware of a little bit of the chaos that you might be going through, because this Virgo, like, think about it, Virgo's the critic. So we're getting into this Virgo eclipse. We're building to that. So we're seeing where the flaws are. We're also seeing where people are being hurt by it, or where people in your life, or you are, or you're being like, who are you trying to save? And then bring all that together as a bundle into a certain kind of peace within yourself. And remember this, your thoughts want you to think them. Your feelings want you to feel them. Nothing in there talks about taking action. Action is something that'll happen naturally. But it's not, if your mind goes, you should do this, this is what we should do, this is the right thing to do, that's dangerous talk. And it's dangerous because that's how heretics talk. That's how fanatics talk. And if you're talking like that to yourself, then you might want to just nudge yourself and say, okay, that's being a little fanatical. There's no should here. Think a thought, watch out what they do, observe them, see how they're moving in you. And your thoughts can tell you, am I getting critical? Is this getting critical? Am I like getting a little too hard? Or am I getting a little too soft? But you can watch and see, am I opening up? Am I being easier? And the observer can take care of what to do next. But you acting on it because of a voice in your head that's angry going, you should, is kind of like not supportive. It's not only kind of like not supportive, it's not supportive. It's not having an adult in the room making sure that what you're feeling and what you're thinking are exactly that, what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. Nothing, it's not information necessarily for you to follow. It's information for you to notice, observe. Because anything that needs that kind of urgency will take care of itself. This isn't something that you need to activate and nudge forward. These are very, very, very informational kind of times. It's times to reflect, to go in. This is a Pisces North Node. Take all that criticism, go in a little bit. Now, Mars and Libra in the first. Hi, Judith. Mars and Libra. Mars and Libra is kind of like always wanting to keep it fair and just. Mars and Libra can be icy to yourself. It can be because like, well, that's not fair. That's not a thought. You know, I'm the mediator here and I'm the scales. And so even though it rises to the occasion often and can be very objective, sometimes it can be very icy to the self. So during these times where criticism is sort of like a tool that we have really clear access to, thanks to the eclipse, you want to make sure how you're using it and make sure that you don't have these thoughts running rampant without an adult present in your inner room. Have an adult present in the room that says, okay, we're thinking it. We ain't acting on it. Don't act. I'm telling you. We get righteous about this stuff. Like this is, it's like, that's what my inner Virgo told me to do and I'm doing it. It's like, okay, don't do that. This is what my inner Virgo told me to do and I'm listening. Okay, I heard you. Thank you. Let's see what else comes up. That's Mars in Cancer, moving cautiously side by side. Okay. Yeah, I will not should myself today, Gwen. That's perfect. Good advice. Shoulds. Thank you. Yeah, you guys, definitely. I love that. I love that you get it. Stay present with all the thoughts that are going on. But none of them, when it's time to take action, people go, well, when's the right time to take action? You don't ask that question when it's time to take action. It just, you get it. It just is. But you hear the voice, if you hear this pumping in your head going, you should do, it's like, yeah, me. you know that, yeah, like one of my favorite things of the past couple of years, the phrase when somebody would tilt their head and go, but really? I love that because it's we get so hyped up. We get so ready. We get so righteous. We are so clear. And then out of the blue, somebody goes, yeah, really though? Or if somebody goes, I am really good at this. I have a great voice. Sometimes when I'm making my other videos in my other life, I'll sing, I'll say, this song's in my head. And then I'll make a, you know, crack the joke that I got to be careful because the copyright people will come after me. I sound just like them. It's fun. It's humorous for me because I get to laugh at myself and how, because I really think in my head when I'm in the shower, I'm sorry for my voice. When I'm in the shower, I don't want to take a minute and take a sip of coffee, but I'm going to. Damn, that's good coffee too. When I'm in the shower, I mean, don't we think we sound good in the shower? I think that's like part of the fun. So I just say it out loud. But during this time, let's make sure that we hear the voice and we laugh with it. We get a kick out of it. But having the adult in the room, you guys, I'm not kidding. Before you take any action, before you think, okay, and when you're trying to decide, should I or shouldn't I really think if we're asking the question, the answer is no. If it's not an absolute yes, it's a no. That's my big thing. I've always said that. Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes it is a yes and you're just being super careful. But if you're asking, if you're taking the time to ask, then there's a part of you not sure. And I notice that when I have to call people and say, what do you think? And I already know the answer. I'm trying to get somebody to really have a strong counter argument to what I already know to be the truth. But having the observer on takes care of that for us. It really does. And the observer goes, oh, that's a thought. Listen, look at that thought. And I have thoughts like, I hate that person. I don't really, but the thought is there. So it's fun to be with and be present with. Okay. I think you guys are good. I think you're good to go. You've been beautiful. You're so kind. I'm getting used to this a little bit. And I'm going to work on my visuals, Gwen. I'll make sure that, you know what I'll do? I know the perfect thing to do. If I show you a visual, I'm going to work on making sure it's a link underneath the podcast, the stream, the live stream. I'll make sure it's there. These aren't important, so don't look for it today. But when I have, I'm going to have some things I'm going to want to show you guys, and I'll put them in the podcast underneath whatever this is called. It's called a live stream, right? So I'll also put it up. I do have Buzzsprout as a podcasting company. I'll put those links there. That's a great, I'm so glad I thought of that. And Gwen, thank you for nudging it in me. I'll put all those links. The one to how to subscribe, how to be a member, all that stuff, how to get on the mailing list, where to find the Power Peak. Perfect. And you guys help me. Thank you so much. I got Shirley told me today in an email because I sent the wrong chart. I did. I swear to you, I had the right chart. The link wouldn't update. And so she said, we are with you and we hold for you as you learn this and we're there to catch you. And I feel it. I feel it. You guys helping me do that. And I thank you so much for your patience with this because I'm getting so much less nervous about it. And as long as you guys keep figuring it out with me, I can't go wrong. So listen, thank you so much. thank you, Karen. I know it's sort of like, whatever. This is the face. What I got. You guys are the best. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. This is the weirdest thing I've done in a long, long time. And I'm so glad I'm doing it because I think we need to get a little more into the mainstream. Let the algorithms help tell the world who we are as a group. I'm getting more and more of my staff. So nag my staff. If you know my staff, nag them. They need to live stream. We need to see the world. And you guys, you could not be a better group of people to be in front of. I thank you. You make me humble. You do touch me. And at the end of every broadcast, I get a little teary because your warmth is overwhelming. So then I'll face the people who aren't so warm and that'll remind me, oh yeah, it's all an illusion. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. I am going to sign out. We'll see how it works signing out. Okay. Thank you a million. I'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
I'm going to spare you the details, but I have to say the support was amazing. The clarity, the speed, the lack of fear, and mostly the feeling that this person actually cared resulted in me making empowered choices that changed everything for the better. The choices we make have consequences. So make yours with good advice in your corner. 12listen.com. It's the right choice for the best advice. 12listen.com.